Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today, I bring another special guest. His name is Matt Snyder, and he's the CEO of Brand Excel, which I will say is one of the top agencies out there when it comes to scaling your brand on Amazon. I met him in Prosper. We had an amazing dinner together. I get to know all the amazing things that he brings to the table and for his clients. And that's why I wanted to bring Matt today to the episode, because one of the things actually has been an interesting topic that we were talking before going live. It's about the importance of, you know, self-fulfilled prime. I think this is something that's becoming a huge thing, especially after the huge spike on fees. So this is something that people are starting to dig for in terms of how do I do, you know, the prime on my side. And then the other thing that I'm sure people are going to always enjoy listening is about how AMC can definitely be a good thing for your brand in terms of really understanding the whole funnel from top to bottom. So Matt, pleasure to have you in the show. Funny you're here. So how you doing, my friend?
Vincenzo, I'm doing great. I'm so grateful to be on the show. Appreciate the invitation and have been looking forward to this conversation with you.
Thank you. We had a
great time there at Prosper a few months ago. And that's what I love about this community, right? Is like meeting new networks and new people. Mm-hmm. And, the friendships that we've built in this community is you know, that's what I love about working at Amazon.
Yeah, the same. Like, you know, sometimes I speak with people from other industries, and whenever I tell them like, how close we are as a community, like we go and have meals together, we go and party together, we go and have events and travel. It's like I've never met that community that's so engaging. And yeah, we're very lucky in this, you know, 100%. So Matt, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you have an extensive CV. You have so much experience when it comes to commerce, specifically Amazon. So I'm sure it would be great to hear a little bit about, you know, your early beginnings and how you jump into the Amazon space and all of that. And then basically what brought you to, you know, your company now, BrandScale, that helps so many brands scale on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely. So you probably notice the jerseys here behind me. So these are part of my story, actually. So I'm based in Dallas, Texas. And so I moved to Dallas straight out of college for a job with the Dallas Mavericks. And so I was a huge NBA fan, wanted to work in sports. And this was like shortly after Mark Cuban had purchased the team. So he was doing all these like crazy marketing thing, you know, stories, you know, going to work at Dairy Queen, all these different things. So I was like, that's the guy I want to go work for. I want to go learn from Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate to get hired on. I worked there for 6 years. It was a dream job. I loved it. But this was in like 2002 to 2008 is when I was there. Mm-hmm. So Mark started talking about this new company that he was advising called Woot.com. And so this was, you know, so very early years of kind of e-commerce still. And so I started following this website, Woot, and it really just caught my attention of they were doing something unique where they were this whole daily deal concept of one item a day, write this really funny story, creating community and engagement. And so I just randomly put an email out to them about a job offer and thought I had no chance and ended up getting hired on. And it turned like was a completely pivot my career from going like I think like sports is going to be my career to e-com is now my career. And learned a lot early on. The company was acquired by Amazon in 2010. So worked at Amazon for about 3 more years before leaving with one of the president of Woot at the time. He and I started this business together called Accommodate, where we were helping brands, you know, sell their products, market and sell their products on places like Groupon, Living Social. So as Woot had this explosive growth, all these other daily deal sites started popping up. And so we were solving a solution for these brands as this growth was happening. But as we all know, like Amazon just exploded. And so I kind of shifted my focus to really just thinking through how can I help brands on Amazon. And I was fortunate to meet the founders of Varidesk, around this time. Mm-hmm. You know, they had built this amazing product, amazing company on as a D2C product. They wanted to sell on Amazon. So I came on board, worked with their team to help get them set up with Amazon and kind of launch the program. And one of the things that we did early on that was unique is we went Seller Fulfill Prime versus FBA. They started as a direct-to-consumer brand, so they had built out these resources for third-party logistics and carrier accounts, and they didn't have the benefits of FBA available to them when they started on the direct-to-consumer side. So they were kind of forced to work out these big challenges. And so when I came on, I said, "Well, let's take advantage of this because big, bulky. The more times we ship these things, the more expensive it is."
Yeah.
And so as we built up this program, it opened my eyes to a lot of the benefits that this program can have. And it's not for all products and all brands, but for those where it works, it's really, really beneficial. So I led the team at Varidesk for the last 7 years. And just recently launched Brands Excel. And what led me to kind of launch the program or this agency was, during my time there talking with other D2C owners and or companies where as they were looking to kind of take the same path as Varidesk and go to Amazon, they had these questions around, well, what's going to cannibalize my sales, my D2C side? Maybe they tried to sell on Amazon and they realized that, as we know, like Amazon's disruptive. Amazon has its way, its ecosystem. You're going to do it the Amazon way. Yeah. You throw that into an existing business, it can really be a problem or create a lot of challenges. And so I created Brands Excel to kind of take my executive experience I've had for the last 7 years and go help these brands specifically where they have a bit more need for engagement than more than just Amazon media, more than just Amazon product pages. They need somebody to kind of help them work through these bigger challenges related to D2C channels. And with that has come Seller Fulfill Prime, kind of the same as Amazon, as Varidesk was in the position of having its own 3PL and carrier services. Most of these D2C brands have that same solution. And so as we're talking about their move on to Amazon, it's also how can we help you leverage your this value that you have already to help you grow and scale on Amazon. And we'll kind of jump into the details here, but as we kind of dig into this, SFP was closed for a long time. It's reopened. Yeah, there's a lot of misnomers around would my product work or not work. And there's high performance metrics, but there are some really easy ways to overcome those and take advantage of this benefit.
That's cool. I mean, first of all, what an amazing journey. Like, I mean, having the opportunity to work with Mark Cuban, that must be mind blowing. I can't imagine all the, experience you gain out of that. So that's awesome. Now, going back to the thing you basically just mentioned, Seller Fulfill Prime, I want to start with that to open the conversation because, as you briefly mentioned, it's something that was pretty much closed for a while. It was like a black box. Nobody could enter that, but it's been open again. So now I guess what we can start in terms of the first question around this is like, what are some of the criteria you have to hit to be basically eligible for this? Because we all know that this is something that not all brands are going to have the opportunity to apply. So let's start with the basics. Like, what are some of the things people should consider in terms of if actually, first of all, they're eligible, and second of all, if actually it's the right route for them? Yeah,
great question. So let's start with how should you even just kind of do a self-evaluation of your product catalog and your brands and understand, like, should we even kind of take this next step of looking into it? Generally, what works best is kind of this criteria. If you have a high value product, so what I mean by that is something maybe over $100. We know, right, you put product in inventory into Amazon FBA, it can get lost, it can get displaced, it can get damaged, all these different things. And there's a lot of work you have to do on the back end to get those reimbursements back. That's all costs, capital that you have lost, right? So if you have a high value product that you generally, it's one, it's to kind of reduce those expenses, but two, you generally have maybe more of margin in there to kind of help with these costs as well. The second thing would be more if you're seasonal or maybe unpredictable sales. Amazon's algorithm is really based upon, as you're thinking through FBA, of your past sales history. And so if you go through a period of time of low sales, and within like a 3-month period, like you're just spiking and going up, right? FBA can be really challenging. Amazon's provided some help with this, with being able to kind of purchase additional, right? But again, you're having to work through kind of the headaches of those. Another thing would be if you've had like large bulky products, That was kind of the case with Faradesk, where we were oversized, we were large, heavy. More times we're moving the things around, easier to
FBA damage. Doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. And then the kind of fourth would be if you have something with like a lot of high variance. So what I mean by that, if sometimes this can be in the apparel side, or if you have something where it's got a lot of different sizes or color tones and things like that, where we're putting a lot together, those are easier where Amazon's easy to lose or mix
labels all over. Right. Yeah.
Right. And so if you have like any of those, then I would say like you're at least a good candidate to kind of take the next step to exploring. So the early to kind of register to get into the program, what you would need to do first is do merchant fulfillment for show Amazon that you can do successfully do merchant fulfillment. And so the pull up here, there's a couple of different things to work through. So there's a pre-qualifications, right? You have to have a selling account, professional selling account, performance metrics over the last 90 days. You must have self-fulfilled at least 100 packages, maintain a cancellation rate less than 2.5%. Achieve a valid tracking rate of 95%.
Yeah.
If you get through that, then you can do the actual enrollment into the Prime SFP program. And that's where it gets more of like the speed performance. Yeah. And that's where we have to have on-time delivery rate of 93.5%.
That's crazy.
Valid, right. These are some big, big numbers. And that's where I say most times sellers are not going to be able to do this on them. This isn't you going out and say, well, I can just open up a warehouse and I can start doing seller fulfill Prime. For most sellers, no. If you have, you're large enough where you have multiple locations, probably potentially could do it. And this is generally the roadblock for a lot of sellers in the past. But what has changed even just like within the last year is there's been some really strong partners that have come on the scene that from a 3PL perspective, two that I highly recommend is Ware2Go, which is actually a subsidiary of UPS. And then you've got DaVinci Micro Fulfillment. Corey has been a seller in this game for a long, long time. He's one of the early sellers to Amazon. He knows it inside and out, and he's built a phenomenal network of warehouses across the US. Both of these companies have been approved by Amazon for Seller Fulfill Prime. They have carrier service. So all those kind of big hurdles that were kind of in the road before for sellers, if they've done the hard work of overcoming those. So they can achieve all these metrics. They can tap right into your Seller Central and make it really, really simple for sellers.
Cool. Now, something I want to touch on, the first one is the application process. So something that I hear a lot of confusion around that is like, let's say I meet the initial criteria as you briefly described there, and I apply. Will that guarantee I get approved, or does it has to go to a review process so Amazon actually grants you the permission to become Seller Fulfilled Prime?
So they're going to, as you kind of go through like the pre-qualification and then the qualification period, it's really just based off the metrics. So as you go through, if you're hitting those metrics,
you get approved.
You're going to get approved, right? There isn't like a secondary where there's somebody going through and looking through you as a seller, right? It's all based on those metrics. And that's the same as once you get into the program, right? Then you have these other metrics that you're having to maintain. And, it's the AI system going and looking and seeing, are you hitting it? No, not, right? That's it. You get the notifications to make your adjustments.
Yeah. Now, another question when it comes to Seller Fulfilled Prime is around the fees, because of course, if you do Seller Fulfilled Prime, that means you don't have to pay FBA fees anymore. However, it would be interesting, and I'm sure maybe you already have some experience, how having your shipment and everything on your site compared to paying FBA fees. Have you seen a huge difference in terms of fees? They're very similar. What is your experience with that?
It's a great question. And this is oftentimes like, I think one of the biggest misconceptions around SFP is, look, Amazon for a long time with Fulfilled by Amazon, it was what made brands successful on Amazon.
Cheapest,
right?
You could find. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Best costs. But as we've seen in these recent weeks and months, you have inbound placement fee. Maybe we're going to have low inventory, right? Keeps getting pushed out, just got pushed out again. But the cost there, and I think if you look at the shareholder letter that Andrew Jassy just shared, he talked about reducing their cost of services, right? And so they are looking for ways to take all those investments they've put in the last several years and make it profitable for them. So those were hard costs that has to get paid by somebody. And we all know like right now, like we as sellers, we're paying it.
Yeah.
But as these costs are coming up, it's making the delta between what was the cost for SFP and FBA more balanced. And so in this case, we actually just did a cost analysis for one of our brands at for Brands Excel. They have not a super heavy product, but a little bit of bulky. So it's oversized, but not, we're not talking like massive boxes or anything like that. We just did the cost analysis. Their FBA fees were roughly about 19% of their retail value. That's a substantial margin that you're like cost that you have.
Yeah.
When we compare them with one of our providers we work with, we got their cost down to 10%.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
19 to 10%. And that was just off of their Amazon business. If we were to incorporate then their D2C business as well, right, there's probably another 1 or 2% that we can get that lower. So it just goes to show that, yes, I mean, over time, that was usually one of the cases that FBA was always going to be kind of a better cost approach than SFP. But that was one example where we were like, the brand was shocked to discover this. And one of the, you know, they were having a lot of inbound misshipments and things like that. And you know, we were doing their FBA audits for them and we were finding these and we're getting that money back, but that's cost, that's expenses for them. So if we can eliminate or reduce that now, like those are the other things that aren't necessarily factored in, you know, to that cost analysis. But
cool.
Nice. So that's a good example.
Yeah, and that's a very good one. In fact, something I wanted to bring to the table, which is something that it always comes in the conversation we're talking about self-fulfilled prime, is about the customer experience. Because when you are doing FBA, Amazon does everything for you. When you self-fulfilled prime, all the basically responsibility falls on you. Some people wonder how the returns behave now, because before Amazon was a person dealing with all of that, now it's yourself and you have to give the same kind of speed when it comes to that. So just high level, does it change a lot the experience from the consumer side of things? Can actually a consumer tell if they are going FBA or self-fulfilled prime, or the actual interaction doesn't really change that much when shopping with you?
So it actually really doesn't change that much, and there's a couple different ways as use the brand can take a little bit of control with this. So within the SFP program, Amazon does call out that this is now a prime product. And so as a prime product, the customer has the same opportunity to use Amazon customer service to answer questions around returns. I need a replacement, damaged product, right? All that can get managed by the Amazon team and then comes back to you as the seller. In this case, if they need a replacement, Amazon's going to issue a no-cost replacement. It's going to come through as a standard order. Where you do have, you know, the engagement now as a brand is for Veridesk, for example, we actually try to encourage the customer to reach out to us, and we have a customer service team. And the reason that it's more beneficial for us is that in some cases we can work with that customer if it's maybe a slight damage on the corner or something like that. Hey, how about if we give you a 10% discount?
Exactly.
Are you okay with the product? Right. If we can overcome those returns, it's a huge cost savings for us when we're talking about, you know, 100-pound desk that's going back and forth. What you do have to account for then is the returns. So, you know, you have to have kind of something set up with your 3PL. Again, they manage all this for us, but we have to kind of go in and manage the return request and issue refunds at time to time. So there is that added service that we have to kind of account for, but a lot of the kind of frontline conversations with customers can still be managed by Amazon.
Cool. And now to conclude on this subject about self-fulfilled prime, when it comes to the speed, we know in some regions Amazon already delivers same-day delivery, right? Sometimes hours. So when it comes to self-fulfilled prime, from your experience, do you already see that there are some partners able to have that speed, or realistically, when you do self-fulfilled prime, it's always going to be next day when it comes to shipping?
So in terms of what the kind of basic requirements are, Amazon puts three size tiers into the program. So you have standard, oversized, and extra large. Right. Each of those size tiers then have different speed requirements in terms of what has to be 1 day, 2 day, or greater than 2 days. You do have the option as a SFP seller, if you want to select an offer same day shipping, you can actually do that. It's not a requirement, but you can do that. Probably most can't do that. But so they're kind of set the standard, what you have to maintain. And then it's up to you to kind of make sure that the partner you're working with, in this case, like a 3PL, most likely, ensuring that they can kind of meet that as well as the carriers that they're working with. In our case, you know, it's where it comes down to making sure that we have kind of the right coverage in terms of warehouse locations, inventory in the right locations. And one of the things we kind of do with our brands when we're kind of walking through this exercise is we get a heat map of their sales. So we actually use a tool that allows us to see where was plugging into their seller account, and we can see every single FBA location that their order getting shipped out of or they're getting shipped to. And this, that helps us kind of to make a determination of where do you need to have a warehouse location with your 3PL partner to ensure that we can get a high coverage of ground shipments that still meet the 1 and 2 day. So that's kind of the expectation. People are thinking, well, if I do this, I'm gonna have so much overnight and 2 day express shipments. And yeah, there will be some of those, but we probably have 70% of our orders are ground shipments just because of the way we have our structure set up with our 3PL network.
Cool. And now another thing that came to my mind, which I got a question a few days back, is regarding when you get the approval on your account, is this something given at the account level or at the category level? Because maybe you have multiple type of categories, multiple brands. How does it work? Is it given at the brand category or is it for the whole account?
Great question. So it is at the count level.
Okay.
And so in this case, if you have multiple different brands that you're kind of offering within your seller account, or maybe it's I want these products to maybe be seller fulfill prime, these products to be FBA. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing.
Okay.
Cool. For some sellers, this is a hybrid approach. I'm gonna put these products into FBA and these products I'm gonna do seller fulfill prime. So you manage your offers to your shipping templates. So in this case, if it's FBA, right, I just create FBA orders. That's an FBA SKU number for those. When it's a merchant fulfilled, then I can assign a shipping template to that ASIN and to that SKU number, and I can control what that prime offering looks like. So you definitely have control over which products or which brands, but it is offered to you then at a seller account level.
Awesome. Now, before we jump into MC, is there anything else you think from a seller fulfilled prime we should be aware of in terms of maybe tips or things we need to be mindful of when doing the transition? Any other wisdom you want to share with that topic?
Well, I would just encourage brands to, not just always think of SFP as this something you can't achieve or it's not the right fit for me. It's worth taking an evaluation. You can kind of talk about the other kind of benefits of, right, by having more control over your inventory, you can lower your capital expenses of your inventory expenses. It opens up the door for you to go build out a D2C or other marketplaces, right? Just take the first step, but just explore it. What we can share with all the listeners today is I have a kind of a comprehensive worksheet that you can work through and just kind of answer a lot of questions. It'll tell you everything you need to know about Seller Fulfill Prime. And if you want to take the next step, we have a kind of a free consultation questionnaire. Go through, answer a couple of questions. Our team will come back, walk you through, help you answer some questions, and help you determine if that's something you want to pursue further.
Cool. I'm going to make sure, guys, for all the listeners and the ones watching, to put that down in the description for you to find. Cool. So now let's bring to the table the big guy, MC. This is something that we all know everybody's talking about. It's a new toy in the block. So tell me, what has been your experience with MC so far? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. It's interesting. So it's, MC has been out quite a while now, like over 2 years.
I know.
I think a lot of people, when they first came out and heard about AMC, you would expect that by now it'd just be
exploding.
Everybody's doing it, right? And that's not necessarily the case because there's just a lot to overcome, I think, for brands and marketers as they're thinking through this. So but once you kind of integrate it and actually use this, man, that the benefits and insights really are pretty impactful. And I think as more brands have been shifting their strategies here recently, for so long, a lot of brands are able to just kind of survive at that kind of bottle funnel, right? Mm-hmm. Sponsor products is where I'm going to put all my money into to compete with, SEO keyword tricks and making sure I have well optimized. And that was enough to kind of get you a success in growing sales. As we're just continuing to see that price erosion on Amazon from different competitors, you have to think smarter and you have to kind of react differently. It can't just be dependent on the sponsor product placement anymore. That's where more brands are getting more mid to upper funnel. They're starting to use DSP. They're starting to use social media traffic from other sources. And so as you start kind of spreading out your traffic across these different channels or resources, it gets much more harder to understand what truly is being incremental here. Where am I just burning money? And that's where AMC can really help close the gap on these. And I would encourage everybody, I did the, a few weeks back, you know, Jeff Cohen made a post around, hey, everybody, we got to the certification knowledge base now for AMC, go do it. I learned a ton. I mean, I knew a lot about AMC before that, but I did the certification.
You and Dave. A lot.
Yeah. Go do it. Go check it out.
Yeah, I think AMC at the end of the day is giving us something that I feel we never had before in Amazon, which is actually be able to segmentate our audience and really understand from top to bottom what is happening. You said perfectly, like we always been playing at the top of the, at the bottom of the funnel, like only with things that convert on the spot, but we never really went beyond that in terms of how we get that awareness, how we take them to the middle of the phone, at the bottom of the phone, how we connect all the extra external sources to understand the touch points, yeah, and how a person went from doing things on my website, then a sponsor a brand campaign, then a sponsor a product campaign, then converted to organic placement, whatever, right? So understanding that and then identifying patterns is huge. So I guess from AMC perspective, because I'm sure people might be wondering this, what are some of the main criteria that maybe we could define that are the things that if you are a seller watching this right now, you can on the spot say, okay, maybe AMC is for me. Like, are we talking for sure ad spend level, size of the business, a type of product? Do you have some top of funnel kind of criteria for this? Yeah.
Great question. And I think this is partially why AMC has been a little slow to be adopted by a lot of sellers. Is I think when it first came out, it was kind of this expectation that enterprise level brands would be using this. Right? They had, you know, they're spending hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a month in advertisements across all these different placements. And that was kind of the initial, I think, kind of target that Amazon had. But as we share, like as more brands are pushing up our funnel, Amazon's now pushing Prime Video, all these different placements, it's becoming more relevant to more brands. So I would say, you know, if you're running DSP and as well as your sponsored product placements, if you're doing any type of social media, driving things to your D2C webpage, you're probably a prime candidate to kind of explore this further. Mm-hmm. What I would, in Amazon's done a good job of kind of making the barrier here, you know, a little lower with a lot of pre-built templates. So for if you're not familiar with it, like with this whole program, everything is like a SQL base report. So you have to have a SQL developer to take all this big data that Amazon's sharing and be able to actually visualize it. So they have these, you know, standard reports that they've created and makes it easy to kind of, right? And you can get a lot of good value out of these reports. But what I think really is the defining or like can be needle moving changes for you is you as a brand, as a company, of understanding and asking the right questions. What is specific to your business, the pain point you have right now? And asking, be able to ask that right question and then working with the SQL developer to go and write the report specific to that, right? And so one a good example I have of this, a friend of mine did this report and it's like, sounds basic, but at the same time, not something you would get just as a template. He was running, so we were talking sponsored product placements earlier, right? So we're spending a decent amount of money and category keywords, non-branded keywords. So highly competitive, low ROAS typically. And it's because we're last click attribution, it's you're looking at the ROAS performance and saying, this isn't being incremental for us. So what he did is he actually ran the report to say, if someone engaged with my ad, went to my detail page, but then went and did a branded search, what's the percentage, what's the carrier of that? And he actually found like there was a really high number of occurrences.
Interesting.
So in this case, if we're measuring the performance of our sponsored products and our this highly competitive area, and just looking at ROAS, or you know, maybe detail pages would have give us a little bit of clues here, but it doesn't show the full picture of like we're actually creating brand awareness and brand traffic here.
Exactly.
And so that's where one of our partners we work with is IntentWise. Mm-hmm. They actually just opened up a solution for if you're not doing DSP, if you're just doing sponsored product placements, they actually have some ways to do some AMC reporting for you as well too. So it's becoming more, you know, achievable and options for more sellers. So if you haven't, highly encourage you to go. And I would say if you're spending at least over $20,000 a month, you probably at least are in the ballpark. Most people are going to, if you get more than $50,000 plus a month, that's probably more ideal. Yeah. But definitely some opportunities even at those lower spend levels.
Yeah. And actually to build on that funnel that you just described, like something you can even take as a learning from that example you just gave, is that maybe you then identify that if people is going and searching for your brand and maybe you realize that on that placement, you're losing them, maybe it's because you're not doing a defensive strategy when it comes to defending your brand term. Because they're going to your brand, then they're getting tied with sponsor, top of search, banners, and you're losing them there. So this is a good way also to identify loopholes that your competition is exploiting and you can cover the patches, essentially.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. So, I mean, to be honest, we have covered so much with self-publish Brian and MC. I think this episode is definitely, packed with so much knowledge. I think to conclude on the MC side of things, what is some of your maybe tips or last learnings you want to share in terms of, incentivizing people to give it a try when it comes to MC?
You know, as I kind of shared earlier, I think, and this was one of the things, again, it really emphasized in the training I did through the Amazon knowledge base, was, AMC is only as good as the engagement you get from your collective team. So again, brands, companies, we all have kind of different team structures, but I can think of like my experience at with Veridesk. We had our marketing team, we had our data team, we had technology team. Is how do we get everybody kind of bought into this idea? And oftentimes we have a demand gen team for our paid search for Google, Amazon separate. How do we get everybody to the table and think through what truly are the business challenges that we're trying to solve for, to where we can get to what are defining what's the right questions and what are the right measurements? If we can get alignment on that and then use AMC to help bring to picture those questions and measurables, that's where it really becomes game changing for advertisers.
Yeah, well said. So Matt, it's been a pleasure. I think before we conclude the episode, it would be great if you can also share, how people can get in contact with you. And also, reach out to your agency. I know you guys specialize on all these things we've been talking about. So tell us a little bit more about that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can always reach me at my email is just matt@brandsexcel.com, or you can catch me on LinkedIn. Usually pretty active there. So just search Matt Brands Excel. I'm sure I'll come up, and maybe we can drop a link here in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Find it there in the description, guys. Cool, Matt. So pleasure as usual. So I'm sure we're going to see each other at upcoming events. We have Amazon Accelerate in September, so maybe see you there. Who knows?
Looking forward to it.
So pleasure, Matt. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.